Good to see everyone again this morning. Back in Galatians chapter 1. Good to see everyone this morning. Hope you're doing well. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Okay, Galatians 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding and our heart to receive something from your word. Give us understanding through the Holy Spirit of God and help us to apply these things to our life. Lord, help us to not just be hearers of the word, deceiving ourselves, but help us to be doers. Help us to put these things into action. Help us to receive these words as the words of God and not as the word of men. And it's able to build us up, Lord. We pray that you would establish us in these matters. And thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that they're unfailing and unwavering. We pray for every aspect of the services this morning that you would meet with us, that there would be a good spirit. Help us to sing with enthusiasm. Help us to have the joy of the Lord. And Lord, we ask that you might bless the preaching and teaching and the fellowship one with another, and also the Bible giveaway ministry after church. We pray, God, that you'd send many people to receive a copy of the Word of God and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, continuing Galatians chapter 1. And we'll read several verses this morning, and we'll make several stops in other places in the scripture. Galatians chapter 1, begin reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So the last couple weeks we've been going through Galatians, and there's several things to note about Galatians. As we said before, that Paul was writing to a group of churches there in that region. Not one particular church was Paul writing to, like in some of his other epistles and letters. Paul was a little different in addressing this church, as he didn't thank God for them, or he didn't praise them, or write to them as saints. But immediately what we see, and we're going to look at a little bit more and thorough this morning, is Paul's concern that this church has abandoned the gospel that they have received and that he preached to them, and they went into another gospel. But we see a couple things before that. We look at verse number 4. We went over that several weeks ago, that Christ gave himself for our sins. The voluntary death of the Lord Jesus Christ was for the sins of the whole world, we know, but that wasn't the only purpose for Jesus Christ laying down his life and coming into this world. Was not only to save us from our sins, but it was also to deliver us from this present evil world which we live in currently. And that was the desire and the will of God, that every Christian, though he has to live in the world and work in the world and function in the world, that God would deliver him from this present evil world. Now we get to verse number 6. We looked at last week, Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Paul was shocked. He was amazed. He marveled how quickly they went from the truth, how quickly they went from believing the gospel, how quickly they went from the right doctrine, from sound doctrine, and they abandoned all of that and went to another gospel. It was problematic, and Paul was real concerned about that, Paul was really alarmed that they could be moved so quickly and so suddenly from truth unto error. But we looked at the fact that Paul wrote this, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. So we looked at several passages in the New Testament where that terminology, where that phraseology is used, that God hath called you. And God calls individuals, we established last week, into the grace of Christ. He calls them into that grace. How? By the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But not only is the Christian called, is the individual believer called into the grace of Christ, the Bible says that we were called out of darkness into light. So God didn't just save us and give us eternal life and forgive us of all of our sins. He did that. That was accomplished. But he also called us from darkness into light. And it's expected as believers that because we have been called from darkness, that you and I, that every believer should not only say they've been called out of darkness into light, we should also walk in light. That's a condition that's expected, that each believer should be called out of darkness into light, and that should be evident in our life. Not only that, Paul said that he's called us to be holy. I don't know if we looked at that verse last week. 1 Peter says, he called you to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. For I am holy. So there's several callings in the life of a Christian. It's not just the calling into the grace of Christ. It's called in several different aspects as well. But I want you to look at something this morning, what Paul says, and we'll go over to 1 Corinthians, and we'll go to a couple different places. But notice what he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, according to my findings, there's only four times that word accursed is used in the New Testament. And Paul says over in Romans, he says, for his brethren, for the Jews, he wished that himself could be accursed for their salvation. That means he was willing to face damnation that others might be saved. He was willing to be condemned and willing to be damned for the salvation of the Jews, for the salvation of his people. Now, I don't know about you. I love people and I love souls and I want to see people get saved. But I don't know how bad I want to go to hell that other people get saved. Amen? But Paul said that in Romans. He said, I wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake. That's pretty powerful. That's some pretty big words that Paul desired, that he would be accursed from Jesus Christ so that others would be saved. Now, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, and I'm glad I'm not going to hell any longer. But I don't know if I want to go to hell in order for other individuals to get saved. Do you? I'm just selfish. But Paul said that he wished himself would be accursed. So there's two other times or three other times that word accursed is mentioned in the Bible. But here, Paul puts a great emphasis on the fact that there's individuals who are distorting the truth. They're perverting the gospel. They're twisting the gospel. They're adding to the gospel. And Paul said two times, back to back, he says, if they do so, he said, let them be accursed. Let them be damned. I believe that's pretty powerful. I think Paul was really adamant on the preaching of the gospel and that the gospel should not be perverted, it should not be changed, it should not be distorted. And if an individual did so, Paul said that individual should be accursed, according to him. Now, oftentimes, now I'm guilty of this, maybe you are as well, oftentimes when there's individuals, preachers, teachers, or anyone that you hear giving another gospel or declaring another gospel or preaching another gospel, I would say this, that they're a false teacher. They're preaching the wrong gospel. They're damning people. They're leading people astray. They're perverting the truth. They're distorting the gospel. But Paul said, let them be accursed. That's pretty strong sentiment towards individuals who preach in the gospel. It's not that they just have the gospel distorted and they're misleading people. Those individuals, according to Paul, should be accursed, should be damned because of their perverting of the gospel. Now look what he says in verse number 8. Verse number 8, he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul said, not only me, but other apostles, other believers, he says, if they come to you with another gospel than other than we preached unto you, he said, let them be accursed. But he goes a little further. He takes it a little bit further, and look what he says. He says, "But though we or an angel from heaven," I mean, that's pretty powerful. An angel from heaven preaching another gospel, Paul said, let him be accursed. Now you know the society we live in, and you know how people are now. People worship angels. People adore angels. I mean, I've seen people with shirts with supposed angels on them, and people have angels on their dashboard, in their vehicle. People have angels in their home. People have angels they wear on their necklaces. I mean, you name it. Society is obsessed with this idea of angels. And it's always an unbiblical angel. It's always a female with wings. And if you understand your Bible, that there were no female angels in the Bible and they never had wings. So they're scripturally incorrect in their portrayal of these angels. But when it comes to angels, we have this whole idea that angels are elevated to some certain status. And Paul said, listen, even if an angel came from heaven and preached another gospel, that angel should be accursed. And if somebody, you know, wanted to deceive somebody, all you have to do now in our society is let an angel preach another gospel. And it's an angel. And Paul said, listen, if you haven't received it and we haven't preached it, he said, those individuals are preaching a false gospel. Let them be accursed. But we have to establish something, and this should go without saying, but I am going to say it, because Paul is so adamant that this gospel which he preached and which he taught and which they received and which we'll see in other places in the scripture are the very foundation of an individual's salvation. It's rudimentary. It's fundamental. The gospel is the foundation for every Christian, right? There's no salvation apart from the gospel. There's no eternal life. There's no forgiveness of sins. There's no being baptized into Christ's body apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he makes these claims that if they preach another gospel, if they pervert the gospel, if you receive another gospel, let it be accursed. So we must establish firstly, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Now, I know, I would hope that most of you can give a biblical definition of the gospel with scriptural references and where it's found in the scriptures. But believe it or not, there's many, many conversations that I've had with individuals professing Christians, and I would ask them one question. What is the gospel? And you would be surprised and you would be amazed at how many different answers I receive when I ask a simple question, what is the gospel? I've heard everything from the words of Jesus. That's the gospel. I've heard everything from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. That's the gospel. That's not the gospel. That is the gospels. That's the gospel of counts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've heard the whole Bible. That's the gospel. I've heard what Jesus, the words of Jesus, Matthew 5. I've heard you name it. I've heard everything under the sun when the question is posed to an individual, whether lost or saved, and ask them, what is the gospel? Can you explain it to me? Where is it found in the scriptures? Where is it defined in the Bible? Where did Paul say, this is the gospel and here is the gospel? And you can't get a biblical answer 99% of the time. I heard John 3:16. That's the gospel. No, that's not the gospel. It may have elements of the gospel, but John 3:16 is not the gospel. So what is the gospel? If Paul says that an individual is perverting the gospel and the gospel's being changed and they moved from the gospel, we must first establish what did they move from. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, matter of fact, before I get ahead of myself, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Should be one page over from Galatians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at this and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. The only time Paul said let individuals be accursed was due to the fact that they were perverting the gospel. They were changing the gospel, that what Paul preached to them, and Paul said let them be accursed two times back to back. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul has just concluded in Galatians that individuals have moved from this truth, and he was surprised and shocked that they moved so quickly. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at two passages here, and then we'll look at two passages a little bit later in the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 3, beginning at verse 3. Now, Paul is writing to another church here, right? This is his second letter to the church at Corinth, okay? And here he writes something very similar to what we find in the book of Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse number 3. But I fear. Paul was worried about something. He was concerned. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now look at Paul's concern. Paul is worried. He's writing a church. I don't know how many people are in the church. I don't know the background, how many are saved. I don't know how long they've been saved for. But I do know he's writing a church, and he's writing those who are in Christ. And he says, I'm afraid of something. I am very afraid. I'm concerned. I'm alarmed that something could possibly happen within this congregation. He says, but I fear, at least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul was worried exactly how Satan deceived Eve through corrupting of the mind, because he was very subtle, that these same believers here, that their minds would be corrupted as well. How? Not from the virgin birth, not from the Trinity, not from the deity, but from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now we're going to see what he means. Look what he says. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, notice, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now let's go back to Galatians. Don't turn there, but just go back in your mind what Paul was dealing with at the church, in the churches of the region of Galatia, that these individuals, these Judaizers, have came in and they started perverting the gospel of Christ. They started trying to mix law with grace. They try to mix works with faith, and they don't work. It's either of works or it's of grace. And the gospel is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And when an individual changes that and adds anything to the gospel, circumcision, water baptism, good works, the sacraments, tithing, anything outside of the gospel, he's perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's corrupting the minds of those individuals who once believed the gospel to leave the simplicity that is in Christ. What simplicity? Salvation is simple. Salvation is easy. Christ died according to the scriptures. We'll look at it in a little bit. And was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's easy. It's simple. But you know what man does? Man wants to add to the gospel. It's already been accomplished. It's already been finished. And man wants to add, do this, do that. And then it no longer becomes simplicity in Christ. It becomes complex. The gospel is very simple. And when an individual starts to add works or keeping the law or keeping the Sabbath or doing this or not doing that, he perverts the gospel and corrupts the minds of those who believed the gospel once. And Paul was afraid. Paul was concerned that these individuals would move from a position of truth that they once believed and once received, and now they moved away and abandoned the truth. Now listen. Don't you think for 1 minute, if the Apostle Paul had written these letters to these churches, he had personal communication with them, and he was concerned that they could be deceived and leave the truth and leave the gospel, what does that say about us? Are we exempt? Is American Christianity exempt from being deceived and being misled and being and their minds being corrupted? Absolutely not. Paul knew these individuals on a personal level. Paul written them with his own hand, he said. He said, my own hand had written these things. He knew the churches. He established them in the faith. He grounded them in the faith. And he was still concerned that they would move from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have been moved in Galatians. So soon removed. So quick. I marvel. I'm surprised. I'm shocked that ye moved from the gospel. But now look what he says that's very similar to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. He says this, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. You say there's only one Jesus. Oh, no, there's not. There's hundreds of Jesuses. You go outside and you talk to the guy across the street, he's got his own idea of who Jesus is. You go to work and you go to the grocery store and you ask somebody about who Jesus is, and you know what? They'll give you this Jesus. He was a good teacher. Or he wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't God in the flesh. He wasn't fully God and fully man. You know what that is? That's another Jesus. They've got multiple Jesuses running around. Paul is referring to if somebody preaches or teaches another Jesus. Well, how do you know another Jesus if it's not the biblical Jesus? So this Jesus, he says that there's other Jesuses being preached. He says, whom we have not preached. Paul preached the biblical Jesus. Paul preached the Jesus of the Scriptures. And he says, or if ye receive another spirit. Another spirit. Well, when you got saved, the moment you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit of God, you were given the Holy Spirit of God as a gift. But Paul was concerned that they could receive another spirit other than the Holy Spirit. And he says, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So Paul just told the Galatians, listen, you moved. You've abandoned the truth. Somebody is perverting the gospel. Someone is corrupting your minds. How is this being accomplished? I'm worried. Look at verse number 13. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 13, what he says, and we won't read the passages in between 4 and 13 for time's sake. You can read it on your own. But look what Paul says. Paul says, verse number 13 through 15, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You know how people are deceived now? You know how people are misled now? They're misled, they are deceived, and their minds are corrupted in the name of religion, in the name of church, and in the name of Jesus Christ by individuals who are not true apostles. Paul says they're false apostles, and they're deceiving people. All over this country, all over this world, apostles who claim to come in the name of Jesus, who claim to preach the Word of God, are doing the same thing in 2026 that they were doing at the church of Corinth, deceiving and being deceived. Paul said they're false apostles, but look, continue what he says there. And no marvel. Remember Galatians? He says, I marvel, I'm amazed, I'm surprised, I'm shocked that you're so soon removed. But look what he says about these false apostles, these deceitful workers. He says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. So Paul marveled at Galatians, at the Galatians, but over here in Corinthians, Paul says, I'm not surprised. Don't be shocked. Why? Because Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. What is light? Light is Christ. Me and Brother Alfred was talking about that this morning. That's Jesus Christ. John says he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Christ says, I come that ye not walk in darkness. Darkness is equated with death and damnation and condemnation and judgment. But light is correlated with life and righteousness and truth. Jesus Christ is the what? He's the light of the world. And Satan, very deceitfully and cunningly, has ministers and preachers and teachers and apostles. And guess what? They come in light. But really, they're dark. And they're deceitful. And Paul says, don't be surprised. Because Satan could transform himself. Now look what he says in verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing. No big deal. Watch this. No big deal. Don't sweat it. Why? If his ministers... Wait. Satan has ministers? Absolutely. By the millions. By the hundreds of thousands. You say where they're at. You say they're in the atheist clubs and they're in the satanic clubs. No, they're not. They're in the churches with the steeples and the people and the services and the invitations and the hymn singing and the dinner on the grounds in the name of Jesus. He says, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They're not really ministers of righteousness. But guess what they have the ability to do? Transform themselves into something that they are not. And guess what happens as a result of this transformation? Paul said, listen, it's no big surprise, but guess what? You're going to be corrupted, the gospel is going to be perverted, and they need to be accursed. What he says? Whose end shall be according to their works. Paul's concern for these churches was that they was going to move from the gospel, the center of the church, the emphasis of Christianity, the foundation that we build upon is built upon the gospel. It's rudimentary. It's elementary. That's where our stance is at on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't be moved. We can't be swayed from it. Now, what is that gospel? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If it's dangerous to move from it, if there's false apostles preaching a different gospel, if individuals can be corrupted in their minds and the gospel can be perverted and distorted and changed, we must have a biblical definition of the gospel. The gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is going to explain very clearly, very concisely what this gospel is. It leaves no ambiguity. It's not vague. It's very clear what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren. He's writing to the saints. He's writing to those who are in Christ. To the saved. I declare unto you the gospel. Okay, here we go. I'm going to declare, I'm making a declaration, I'm making a proclamation. The gospel which I noticed, I preached unto you. So Paul admitted to declaring this gospel to these Corinthians. He says, which also ye have received. Okay, now Paul has preached this gospel, he preached this message, and not only that, they received it. That's a good thing when somebody receives the word of God, amen? That's a good thing when somebody receives truth from the scriptures. You can preach it, you can teach it, you can proclaim it, you can declare it, but you can't make individuals receive it. That is between the individual and God. No matter how good the proclamation is, no matter how good his oratory skills are, no matter how much he alliterates his sermons, if it's preached and it's not received, it's of no avail. So Paul says, I preached it and you received it. Paul wrote over there in Thessalonians, ye received the word of God as it is in truth and not as the word of man. The question is, how are you receiving the preaching? I know that's not where we're at, but just the thought. He says, and wherein ye stand. Okay, so you stand on something. That means what's underneath you is your foundation. Would you agree? I'm standing on this platform. This platform is the foundation that I'm standing on. If I step down to this level, I'm standing on the concrete slab. That is the foundation. They were standing on the gospel. You know the most important aspect of any building is the foundation? You see that in Hurricane Katrina. I've seen whole houses moved. And guess what was still there? The foundation. I've seen houses moved and the foundation was gone. The most important aspect of any building is the foundation. It doesn't matter if you have 4x4 walls. It doesn't matter if you have storm shutters. It doesn't matter if you have double insulated windows. It doesn't matter if you have metal studs. If the foundation is weak, the whole building is weak. And Paul said that their foundation, their stance was in the gospel. Okay, here it is. By which also ye are what? Saved. You're saved by this gospel. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, that doesn't mean you forget it. It means the belief was wrong. There's a lot of people believe the wrong things. They believe the wrong way, right? Paul says in Romans, for with the what? Heart man believeth unto righteousness. And what? The mouth confession is made into salvation. Okay? He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also receive. Now here comes Paul. He's going to explain what the gospel is. So he says, for I delivered unto you first of all. You know what it means? That's the most important thing that he could give them first. That's what they needed. It wasn't the last message. It wasn't something later. It was the first thing that I must establish with this church, with these people, with any unbeliever, is I must establish the gospel with them. That's first. That's primary. Which I also received. Now here it is. How that Christ died for our sins. Notice. According to the scriptures. Not according to Paul. Not according to the Baptist church down the road. Not according to the Bible church. Not according to the Catholic church. Not according to any denomination. Not according to Paul's tradition or his upbringing. Paul declared the gospel that Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures. Its foundation is in the scriptures. And he says, and that he was buried. But it doesn't stop there. Christ dying for our sins is not enough. Christ dying for the sins of the world isn't enough. It's not sufficient. But look what he says. And that he rose again the third day, what? According to the scriptures. Jesus Christ could have died and it would not have satisfied the Lord. It would not have satisfied God. But Jesus Christ not only died, he was buried, but he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So Paul said, this gospel is imperative. This is what I preached unto you. This is what I taught unto you. This is where you stand. This is where you're saved. And here's the gospel very clearly. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. What? According to the scriptures. And he says, if anyone deviates from that, if anyone preaches another gospel or another Jesus who didn't die, well, he died, but he passed out. He swooned. He really didn't die. He was unconscious, or they stole his body from the tomb. He really didn't resurrect. That, my friend, is another Jesus. That, my friend, is not the Jesus of the scriptures. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. He says that he buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that you and I trust, is the Jesus that rose from the dead and was victorious over death, victorious over sin, and victorious over the grave. That is the biblical Jesus. And there were individuals perverting that gospel. Oh, you got to have faith and works. Oh, you got to trust Jesus Christ and keep the Sabbath. No, my friend, believe the gospel. Paul was very adamant about that. Now let's see what else Paul said about this gospel. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at one thing here, and then we'll be done. But I find every letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and I'm going to get the stats on this at a later time for next week, Lord willing. Every letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, he mentions the gospel in one way or another. And we're going to look at those over the next couple weeks. But here in Galatians, he was concerned that they left the gospel. They left the one that has called him unto another gospel. So what is that? We established what the gospel was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now look at one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Now listen to this. Verse 16, and I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. So did Paul baptize people? Very clearly. But did Paul baptize them in his name? Was Paul crucified for them? Why was there divisions and factions amongst this congregation saying, I'm of this one and I'm of that one? And Paul says, listen, I wasn't crucified for you. Is Christ divided? But look what he says in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. But he doesn't stop there, because he did baptize. He baptized many and he named them. He baptized several and he named them. But he says, listen, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He said the purpose that God sent me, the purpose that Christ sent me, wasn't to baptize, although I did baptize. And here's a few of the names of the individuals I did baptize. But there's something more important. There's something more imperative. I have a greater calling. I have a higher calling than baptizing people, and that was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So an individual tells you water baptism. I was water baptized. I received salvation and eternal life when I got baptized. Baptism is part of the gospel. You take them right there and show them. Paul says Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And Paul says, if anyone preaches any other gospel than this, let him be accursed. Look what he says. I preach the gospel not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We'll look at this a little later, a little more in detail next week. But Paul's concern was that these Galatians and these Corinthians moved from this gospel message that was central of Christianity, that was the focal point of their salvation and their eternity, that they moved from that position and they believed a lie. You know what happens to people? And I'll show you in 1st or 2nd Timothy, I can't remember off the top of my head. You know what happens when people leave the truth? They never go to a neutral position. They always go to some falsehood or false lie. It's not that people just stop believing the truth and stop believing the gospel and stop believing the words of Christ. You know what they start doing? They start believing an erroneous lie. And that's exactly what happened in Galatians. They didn't just leave the gospel and leave it where it was at. They left it for another gospel. When people leave truth, they're going to move to an error, to a false doctrine, to a false teaching. And Paul was concerned because Satan has ministers, and he has workers, and he has preachers and teachers. And if you and I aren't careful, you and I are not exempt from being deceived by Satan. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this word. God, help us to stay true to the gospel. not just for our sakes, but for the sake of others who need the gospel, Lord. Help us not to move from this. And Paul wrote very dogmatically about this gospel and the dangers of those who preach a false gospel. Help us not to fall into that category. Help us to love the truth. Help us to believe it. And not only that, help us to obey it, most importantly, Lord. I ask that you bless the break, the time of fellowship, and the rest of the services today. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen.